Dev Robinson, his first hit out for the club, showed that he's, while we drafted him, we were keen to get him so early. He was winning the ball around the contest and getting it going our way. Reece Matheson played a good game.
That's the voice of Danny Daly there at the Brisbane Lions. Down in Tasmania, Kingy David Robertson, he was, by his admission, embarrassed to be overlooked in the first round of the national draft, but the Lions swooped and they took him, and he's made an early impression down there, which is where, funnily enough, Kingy, the coach is. Chris Fagan, he's been good enough to join us. Thanks a lot, Fags.
Hello, Sam, Kingy.
Thanks. Appreciate your company this morning. Well, you take him over to back to Queenstown down there for a bit of West Coast culture. What's happening down there in Tasmania?
No, I've never taken him to Queenstown. It'd give him a shock, wouldn't it, the Gravel Oval? But we like coming down here. It's kicked us out of the heat and the humidity for a little while. We spend all our time training it, so it's a good break. It's a good chance for the new boys to get to know the boys that have been around for a while and get some good training in, because the grounds are always magnificent down here.
Yeah, well, Kingy and I were just talking about your motivation for going down there, because I think this is maybe the fourth or fifth year you've headed back down to your home state, and we're thinking, you know, most clubs do everything they can to find the heat this time of year. They're going up to the Mooloola bars of the world, but you guys are obviously doing the opposite. You got enough of that up there.
Oh, yeah, it's stinking hot up there at the moment, so it won't hurt us to have a week out of it, that's for sure.
What's the coach's assessment of the pre-season been like, Fags? Has it been a really positive time for your footy club after a huge 2019?
Yeah, it has, Kingy. I mean, only judge, there's a few things you use to judge how they turn up when they've had, after they've had their long break. And, you know, we didn't have one player turn up in poor condition, so we're really, really happy about that. 3K time trials we've done, I think we've had 20 PBs or something across the course of the pre-season. A lot of the younger boys are looking bigger and stronger in the gym, and they're testing that way. So, and we've had good numbers on the track. I've only ever had about 2 to 5 blokes in rehab, and they've only ever been in there because they've just been a little bit sore from the session. So, by and large, we're a healthy group, and then we've turned up in good shape, and the attitude on the track's been really good. So I've got nothing else to go by at the moment, mate, other than that, and I'll give our boys a tick.
Sounds like you're doing a time trial yourself at the moment. Are you on the
bushwalk?
Doing a bit.
I am actually up on the pipeline track on Mount Wellington. I've just been running, waiting for your call. I'm still probably puffing from my run, but
you going up or down?
I'm on my way down now.
Oh, that's all right then. I was going to say you're doing it easy.
Yeah.
Another is that one of the 20 PBs you're talking about?
No, not me, mate. I try to look after myself, but I don't try for times anymore. Yeah. Sort of a bit of a waste of time, really.
Just look after that string, Fags. Psychologically,
string's good.
Yeah. How do you handle, or have you got to the point in addressing the shift in, I guess, the side being, you know, going from the hunters to the hunted? I mean, 15th to 2nd is an incredible rise 12 months ago, but is there a psychological shift now with the group that they're going to be hunted rather than hunters?
No, we probably haven't talked about that so much as we've talked about the idea of the reason why we've risen up the ladder is because we've just constantly focused on improving as a team and as individuals. And for me, it seems logical just to keep going that way rather than, you know, worry about where you are on the ladder. I think as soon as you start doing those sorts of things, you can start to play a little bit of fear and choke up a bit. So for us, it's just, can we get better? How can we find ways? And, you know, the way we play the game, the way the players prepare themselves, all those sorts of things. So that's pretty much what we've focused on. You know, you look at all the teams that are going great in the world at the moment. You look at Liverpool. I read a lot about them, and that's all they ever think about is how can they get better. And I think if you occupy your minds trying to do that, then hopefully results take care of themselves. And we're realistic enough to know we may well improve as a footy team, but not win 16 games like we did last season, because it's a very, very tough competition. I mean, it's all about making finals and doing as well as you can when you get there, which we didn't do this year. We got to finals and lost a couple, learned a lot. We want to try and get back there again and show just how much we have improved.
What would be those areas, Fags, that you've identified where there is a potential for improvement for this group, given that it was such a massive jump from 2018 to 2019? What have you identified in the off-season for 2020?
Yeah, there's quite a few things, but I suppose the biggest thing we learn in finals is that when the better teams are playing the better teams, you can't make too many little blunders and mistakes, little concentration fades. And, you know, when I examined all us coaches looked at the tape at the end of those finals, We didn't lose those games because our effort was poor, or we didn't play with enough energy, or that we didn't believe in ourselves. It was more just little moments, you know, guys not being right on guys at 450 stoppages, allowing a handball received to an opposition player who can kick a long ball going through the 50. Those little things like that really hurt us. Mm. And so we've got to get better in those big moments and understand that those big moments start when the siren goes at the start of the game, not in the last five, but the whole game. So I think there's a bit of learning there. I'd like to think if we can maintain our rate of inside 50s that we had last year, that we could convert a few more of those to scores. Even though I know we were number one for offence, I thought that we could have done a bit better in that regard. And we're always trying to improve our defence. And the bottom line to it all is that our biggest improvement last year was for the first time the club had finished in the positive on contested ball differential. I think we were about plus four for the season, and we've got to make sure that we maintain or improve on that, because that gives you the chance to have the game played in your half. So a lot of things. Our players have arrived at the same conclusions with the exercises that we've done with them, looking at vision, and we know what we need to do.
How's your old mate Grant Birchall fitted in down there, Fags? And what has he made of the pre-season? How's he faring?
Yeah, Grant's going well. We've obviously modified his pre-season because he's been injured a lot for the last couple of years. But it'd be fair to say that he hasn't missed a session. He played in our match practice the other day. He's going well, fitting in well. The boys like him. He's a great fella, Birch. And fingers crossed, our medical staff are doing a great job at the moment. He's gaining in confidence with every session, so a tick for him.
What about yourself, Chris? What have you done through this pre-season or the off-season to identify some areas for your own improvement, for your own development? I saw you with the Australian cricket team there at some stages with Justin Langer, just, you know, sharing knowledge. What else have you done?
Yeah, so I went overseas for a couple of weeks. Kingy had went to the Leaders in Performance Conference, which is always interesting in London, lots of guest speakers, and you just sit there and listen and get ideas for your own club and team that you can do. There was a think tank called the P8 on the day before that conference, which is sort of like some EPL coaches and NFL coaches and those types of people in it. I was lucky enough to be able to go to that, and we just talked about coaching issues and ideas and things for a full day, which was great. Roy Hodgson, the Crystal Palace manager, he gave me a lift to the train station afterwards, so it was good to chat to him.
Roy.
Roy, yes. Caught up with Darren Cahill. He was in London doing some commentary on the ATP tennis finals, I think. It was just sat there and talked about coaching with him for two or three hours.
What's the main consensus, do you think, from the coaches as to what the area of maximum gain is?
Well, it's interesting because a lot of the coaches at the think tank, they were very concerned that sport's being taken over by protocol. Athletes having to measure this, that and the other, and that maybe the joy's going out of the game for them. So a lot of conversation around bringing fun and fulfilment back into professional sport perhaps gets a better result. So that was talked about a fair bit, which, you know, I tend to agree. There's always, you can always have too much of some things. So you're trying to always find the balance between, you know, measuring things and being scientific and having some fun and getting spirit and all those sorts of things. So, yeah, that was a big topic of conversation, actually.
Chris, I know the club doesn't want to make a big deal of this, but credit to them, because you invited Kane Corns down there for the pre-season program or the camp this year down in Tasmania. We know that Kane's an outspoken personality on our side of the fence, good, bad, otherwise. What was the reasoning behind inviting Kane down there?
Well, I know everyone thinks there's a little bit more to that than there is, but every time we've had a camp, we've invited some media people down. So Jared Healy came and spent 3 or 4 days with us last year. Andrew Hamilton from the Tour Your Mail, Michael Whiting from AFL.com, and this year we decided to invite Kane. Greg Davis is coming down from Tour Your Mail, and
yep.
Michael Whiting's coming along again, so it's not something that's unusual for us. And, you know, like last year, Jared was fantastic. We were able to pick his brain for a few ideas. He had some sort of recommendations for us after he watched the strain. But, you know, guys like Jared and Kane have highly experienced, very successful footballers, and you can always learn a little bit from them. So I'm hoping that when Kane comes down, he just doesn't sit there and watch. We can pick his brain about a few things and get his ideas and see if he can give us the secret to, you know, buttering up after a good year last year.
Well, Jared's claiming that he took you from 5 wins to 16. we're waiting to see where Cornsy takes you.
Yeah, oh, well, I hope he can take us a bit further, mate. That'd be fantastic.
Well, Kingy's got his hand up too, folks. He's wondering where his invite is.
Nah. I'm happy to do it over the phone, folks.
Kingy's always got a few good ideas for me. I like them.
And personnel-wise, Fags, obviously we spoke about Birchall, but Cam Ellis-Yolman's crossed as well. There was obviously a good relationship, existing relationship there as well, I think, with Nobes. And Callum Archie just moves down the road.
Yeah, so Cam Ellis-Yolman, yeah, I was really impressed with him the other day when we did our match practice. He's such a big body in that midfield, and I reckon he's going to be very helpful to guys like Zorko and Lockie Neal and players like that who are just a little bit smaller in size. He can crunch in and block and... He's very strong to break tackles, so very happy with the way he's going. And Kalarchi, he's probably he's a top 10 pick a few years back and probably hasn't reached the levels that he or the Gold Coast Suns would have liked. He's fitted in very well with us so far. He's a great young man. We've been playing him off halfback. He's a beautiful kick, got a great leap and some good speed, makes good decisions with the footage. So far, so good for him as well. He's fitted in a good way, and hopefully all three of them can have a good impact for us this year.
If there's one thing you could steal from the Richmond Football Club, and we're all chasing, you know, every club's chasing Richmond at the moment. If there's one area, whether it be the way in a method that they play or something they do behind the scenes, what would it be, Fags? What is every club looking at Richmond with envy specifically?
Well, it's sort of hard to tell without being here, but I believe their on-field leadership is fantastic. So, that's one thing we've been focusing pretty hard on up here with our young group. We try and build as many guys as we can who can coach and help each other out in the field. So Richmond look like they have that in spades. And I think their ability to turn turnovers into scores is pretty special. So, the way that they defend in the first place to get those turnovers and then the way they move the ball to get the score, which they did so well in the finals.
Well, the Lions are uncaged in 2020. You can join the Pride at membership.lions.com.au. Fags, it sounds as though you're crushing that walk. I hope the Lions crush the season for you as well. And best of luck. Always appreciate your time here at SEN.
Yeah. No, thanks for your interest, boys. All the best.
Don't get lost, Fags.